This is Logan Sekulow. China's absurd statement that shocked the world.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow. This is Logan Sekulow. Join me in studios, Will Haynes, executive producer of Sekulow. We're going to be breaking down a lot of things. If you saw the title, if you're watching on social media, if you heard the little tease there at the very beginning, that's right. China has released a pretty ridiculous statement. This is coming from the foreign ministry spokeswoman. They were talking about the Department of Energy, a confirmation really that likely that COVID came from a lab in Wuhan, something that we've all said and all known for years, but now you're hearing confirmation from the Department of Energy. But Mao Ning, a Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman, said specifically that this should not be politicized. COVID tracing is a scientific issue and should not be politicized, and also claimed, Will, that we need to stop defaming China by raising these questions, whether it's the balloon that was just there for weather purposes. We all know this. They were just checking the weather over the United States, or whether it is now the sort of confirmed lab leak theory, if you will. They're saying, please quit defaming us.
Right. The spokeswoman, as you said that the United States should, quote, stop defaming China by raising the lab leak theory. Well, if they want to stop being what they call defamed, maybe they should stop secret police stations in the United States. Yeah. Maybe they should stop buying up farmland next to military institutions. Maybe they should stop their spy balloon program that gathers signal intelligence from the United States. Genocide against the Uyghurs. That would be a good thing to stop if they don't like being defamed. Maybe the oppression of other religious minorities in China. How about the cover-up of the pandemic? All of these things would easily be something that they could stop doing, and maybe we would stop raising them and they wouldn't feel like they're being defamed. It's really kind of a boo-hoo statement from a world power that is trying to increase their power in the world as they cozy up to Putin, as they start potentially arming the Russians in the war in Ukraine, and as they do this laundry list of terrible things around the world. Maybe they're the ones who should stop their activities if they don't like what's being said about them.
That's right. A lot of you are watching right now, so I encourage you to share this with your friends. We head into the break. As you know, we have a packed show today. We've got a lot of topics, not just this. We also have Senator Marsha Blackburn, who will be joining us later in the broadcast, so stay tuned for that. If you're listening, you want to call in, you have thoughts about the U.S. now defaming China, give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air, whether you're watching online, on Rumble, on Facebook, on YouTube, however it was, or if you're listening over the radio, it's terrestrial radio, or on Sirius XM, I want to hear from you. So give me a call. I'd love your thoughts on China now trying to throw the blame back at us and saying, you're defaming us. How do you feel about that? 1-800-684-3110. Again, we're going to talk about some other topics as well. But when you make these statements, when you hear these statements coming from China, you also do have to kind of sympathize a little bit with the people, because you know that this is what they're being fed. This is the information that is going out to one of the biggest nations on the planet, being told that the U.S. is spreading lies against you, and that we know how controlled things like the internet are there. That this isn't just a laughing matter. That these are real, there are real serious consequences that could come from this.
And as well, we know that when China digs their heels in and continues these activities, right now they're not scared of the United States. And they are saying these statements like stop defaming us. They're digging their heels in. That's the people of China are the ones that do suffer often when China decides to expand its power and global reach. So you're right. You do need to think about and pray for the people of China that are living under this oppression as
absolutely.
Well.
Hey, keep watching. I know if you're having some audio difficulties, I know some of you complaining on Rumble. If you can hear me right now, we're going to be fixing it during the break. So we'll be back in just a minute. You'll see a video. We'll be back. Hopefully audio will be fully resolved. So if you're having issues with that, stay tuned. I know there's a lot of you watching. I don't want you going anywhere because we have such an excellent show. It's me and Will today. And again, Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us a little bit later. Again, phone lines are open, just a couple right now. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Secular. We're going to take some of your calls here in just a little bit about this situation coming out of China. You may have heard there was this absurd statement that was made by one of the spokespeople in China. She said specifically to, well, essentially, to use their words, to stop
defaming yeah.
China, basically saying, you brought up the lab leak now. Last week, you were mad about our balloon, our simple weather balloon a couple weeks ago. Few weeks ago, you're mad about genocide. You're mad about all these things. Why? Why, U.S.? Why can't we be friends? So this is what's happening. And these questions start to make its way to the White House. So yesterday, Jackie Heinrich, Fox News, who was there as a White House correspondent, asked this during the press briefing that happens every day, most days. This is with KJP. You'll hear her respond, the press secretary. So here's the question. This specifically has to do with now the no longer conspiracy theory of the lab leak, pretty much confirmation. So take a listen. Here's Jackie Heinrich.
There was not so long ago a point where anyone asking the question of whether a lab leak was a credible theory that should be looked into. You know, a lot of those people were derided as fringe, you know, conspiracy theorists. So are there lessons learned, you know, looking back about how we discuss theories when we don't have all of the answers?
So here's what I can tell you is the president's commitment to getting to the bottom of this, right? That is what's the most important, so that we can, you know, we can share this with Congress, we can share this with the American people. That is why he asked the IC to do its work. And right now, there is no consensus. There is no consensus. You heard this from Jake Sullivan yesterday. You heard this from my colleague just moments ago. And we are going to do everything that we can. The president is asking his team to do everything that they can to figure out where it originated because of what could potentially happen next, because of the potential of having another pandemic. And I think that's what's most important. That's what the American people should have confidence in, is that you have a president that wants to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, a president who needs to get to the bottom of this and also find out, you know, make sure we know what's next. That doesn't make you feel good at all, does it? Doesn't make me feel great to hear that kind of statement coming through, that there really is no consensus. We just now are now open to options. A year ago, 2 years ago, you would have said those things on the internet. You have been thrown off. We have a statement, actually, just a little bit of a throwback bite. This one's a little long, so bear with us, but I think you guys all need to remember. This is with Senator Rand Paul, and he is at the point, this was in 2021.
Right.
November of 2021, still kind of in the height of the pandemic,
interrogating. Oversight committee. This was the Senate had Dr. Fauci before the Senate in one of their hearings conducting congressional oversight, as
This is just a look back to about a year and a half ago. So let's just think about that. About a year and a half ago when the lab theory was brought up. So let's take a listen. Bite six.
So what you're doing is defining away gain of function. No. You're simply saying it doesn't exist because you changed the definition on the NIH website. This is terrible, and you're completely trying to escape the idea that we should do something about trying to prevent a pandemic from leaking from a lab. There's the preponderance of evidence now points towards this coming from the lab, and what you've done is changed the definition on your website to try to cover your basically. That's what you've done. You've changed the website to try to have a new definition that doesn't include the risky research that's going on. Until you admit that it's risky, we're not going to get anywhere. It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's let Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally
This committee will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating.
The lie that Senator Rand Paul was propagating now confirmed to be at least a very viable option.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. One, it's that Senator Paul was bringing up that it leaked from the lab early on, as many other members of Congress, especially Republican members of Congress, did. And as we played on the show yesterday, in the media, they had a field day with it. They mocked it. They called it conspiracy theories. They said it's impossible, things of that nature. And then when questioned, Dr. Fauci says he resents that it's a lie. He's also talking about funding that went to NIH, from NIH to the Wuhan lab. That was through a subgrant to an organization called EcoHealth. Many people have heard of that. And there's even emails that are coming out now where members of EcoHealth are saying, we're so glad the gain-of-function dollars have been lifted. The ban on that has been lifted because that was indeed what many of these organizations were funding at this lab. So even then, Dr. Fauci wasn't being forthcoming with the American people, to put it lightly, when he was questioned by Senator Paul. But that's why many of these now senators that are still in office, and Dr. Fauci is no longer with the National Institutes of Health, but they are now calling for this new intelligence to be declassified.
Yeah, that's something that we brought up that is pretty interesting. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, possibly with Senator Blackburn, if we have the time, which is this thing that not only is it a theory, and a lot of people have questions about that too. How did this come about from the Department of Energy? I know that sounds a little interesting. Doesn't really sound like the place you'd hear it from, but it does make sense when they break it down. But what is the information that finally got them to confirm this? We don't have that yet.
Right.
But there is a process happening right now to potentially get that released to the American people, not just to the House and the Senate, but to actually get that information to us so we can actually have some form of confirmation that this isn't just another idea of, yeah, this is one rogue agent who said that theory is correct. What is the data that proves that? And I think we need to do that. Even if we all know, we've all really believed that for a long time, it'd be nice to have that backup to actually say, no, this is what it is. And there are a lot of you guys calling in at 1-800-684-3110. Again, that's at 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air today.
Yeah, and I also wanted to bring this up in light of that questioning from Dr. Fauci, because Admiral Kirby, who is the spokesperson for the National Security Council, he was also at the press briefing yesterday. We played what Karine Jean-Pierre said as well earlier, but when Admiral Kirby was asked about gain of function, then we start to get a kind of a different tune about what the president believes about gain-of-function research, something that many Americans have been concerned about for years now. But I think we should listen to Byte 24, how Admiral Kirby portrays gain-of-function research.
Does the president believe, though, that the reward outweighs the risk when it comes to gain-of-function research?
Does the reward outweigh the risk when it comes to gain of risk?
I got a history degree.
You're going to have to say that again.
Does the president believe that this type of gain of function research is prudent?
He believes that it's important to help prevent future pandemics, which means he understands that there has to be legitimate scientific research into the sources or potential sources of pandemics so that we understand it, so that we can prevent them, and we can prevent them from happening, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. Gain of function, not that bad.
Maybe it's going to help prevent that which may have caused the pandemic. Is that which also may save us from a pandemic?
Yeah, we obviously saw that. You saw some of that kind of the footage that came from the Project Veritas videos that were released last month before their whole controversy unraveled. But before then, there was a pretty compelling video about what seemed to be people within some of these big pharma companies saying, yeah, we're doing this. We're working on this. We're doing what we're not supposed to do. And Kirby kind of said, maybe that's not that bad.
Right. It shouldn't be lost on people that what people were outraged about from that Pfizer executive under the videos that Project Veritas released were that they were manipulating a virus. To potentially find future vaccines for it. Right here, Admiral Kirby is tipping his hat to that kind of research. And saying, you know, we understand, obviously, there has to be legitimate scientific research into sources of potential sources of pandemics. So it all goes back to that's what we think was the source of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, right now, in the next segment, we're going to continue this discussion. We're also going to talk about currently the Homeland Security Committee is holding a hearing, or may have just wrapped, on the border. And a lot of the fentanyl crisis. So, and a lot of you have thoughts on that as well. So if you have a question or comment related to that, I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. It was a pretty compelling morning. We'll play some clips from it. But again, you can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Before we go to this next break, I want to encourage you. There's a lot of you watching right now on Rumble. Rumble has become our number one hub for new listeners and new viewers. We appreciate everyone at Rumble for featuring our content. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you're brand new and you haven't done this yet, subscribe to this channel. Follow the channel. You'll see it right under me. Hit that follow button. We're about 190,000 people who are following this channel. I'd love to make that 200,000. I'd love to see you become part of this show. We do it every day, Monday through Friday. So join us right now. Click that follow. If you are watching on other platforms, like, subscribe, do all that as well. But specifically, I'm calling you guys out on Rumble. I'm going to ask you to do it. Also, get some comments in. We'll take some comments straight from Rumble. Rumble is a great option for free speech, and we have been so happy to be on them for the last couple of years, I believe now, but to really be focused in on the great content they're putting out there. So again, click that follow. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Thanks to everybody who made my request possible. A lot of people followed and subscribed over that commercial break, so appreciate it. Thank you. We do this show, if you're brand new, on Rumble each and every day. So another, to not move completely off this topic, because it does connect with what's going on in China. Today, there was a hearing, Will, about the border crisis and also the fentanyl crisis.
Right, yeah. So the House Homeland Security Committee is, and before they were sworn into office, when they were running, is still the GOP minority. They made it a promise that they would investigate the border, the failures of the Biden administration at the border. And now that they have the majority, they're able to actually hold these hearings and investigate the failures of Secretary Mayorkas. There is chatter in the House of Representatives about potentially bringing articles of impeachment against Mayorkas for his failures at the U.S. southern border. But today was another one of those hearings. I believe this is the second one that they've already held. These featured some parents of that have lost children to fentanyl overdoses as a result of the increased trafficking of that over the U.S. southern border. And so we were able to pull some of this sound because it was some really compelling and passionate testimony before Congress today.
Yeah, this is from Rebecca Kiesling, who you said is a mother who lost multiple children to fentanyl overdoses. And it does tie into what we've been talking about with China. So take a listen. This is just from this morning. Again, if you are listening with small children, again, it gets, you know, this is a heavy topic. It gets a little bit graphic. So I want you to be aware of that before we play it. But this is from Rebecca Kiesling again today at Congress.
If we had Chinese troops lining up along our southern border with weapons aimed at our people, with weapons of mass destruction aimed at our cities, you well know you would do something about it. We have a weather balloon from China going across our country. Nobody died, and everybody's freaking out about it. But 100,000 die every year, and nothing's being done. Not enough is being done. Numbers are going up, not down. And you talk about children being taken away from their parents. My children were taken away from me.
Again, just an incredibly powerful statement coming from Rebecca. Look, this is a crisis that's touched everybody. I don't know if I know anyone who this hasn't affected. But she's right. I'll even take the blame myself, too, and say, yeah, sure. I don't think that the balloon flying over the United States is something to laugh at, something to not take very seriously. But when the mainstream media covers that for a week straight, and then you have this crisis, this real situation that's killing you know, six figures of people a year, and I'd say it's probably more than that. That's probably a low estimate at this point. And nothing is really being done about it. We should be all concerned. We should all have a wake-up call. And not that our listeners, and we haven't been talking about it aggressively, but now to figure out what there is to do, Will, because there are some voices now on Capitol Hill that actually may do something with some of the changeover that happened. It can't happen overnight, and a lot of it won't, but we're at least heading in the right direction.
Here's a lesson also from the entire balloon crisis that the United States saw, was that at first, our military leaders and the administration didn't do much. And for 4 days, the balloon traversed the United States and then was finally shot down over Hilton Head Island after the outcry of the American people of why are you letting United States national sovereignty be violated by this balloon crossing our country, intercepting our signals? And that is very serious. Yeah. And then you also saw them overcorrect. They went and were just, all right, we're going to take down things that we don't know what they are right now. I wish the Biden administration would overcorrect on the border crisis. I wish they would hear the American people. They would hear voices like this mother who has lost two children to overdoses. And that's a direct link to the border crisis. I wish they would hear that and finally realize we got to do something because we're way behind and they're calling us out on it. So I don't mind if they do it because they feel like they're behind the eight ball and the American people are calling them out. Good. Respond to the American people. Take charge and do something about
it. Yeah, when the balloon crisis happened, what do? We start shooting down random things out of the air just to try to make people feel a little bit safer. So all of a sudden we're sending, you know, F-16s out with missiles to shoot down potentially $10 weather balloons. That, you know, hobbyists are using. But that's okay. You know why? Because we actually, I think, tried to respond, and they tried to respond to what the American people felt in that moment. Hopefully, take a listen to this. Now, I know that that is a tough thing to hear. I know it's a tough thing to even talk about. You may not even want to hear about it or talk about it. It's a lot more fun to talk about the fact that China put out a statement today saying, you know, quit belittling us. Quit saying that we're the bad guys. That's a little more fun. We can talk about that. We can have that discussion with a little bit of a smile on our face because we know in this instance, we're the good guys in this. This situation, our country's done little to nothing, allowing these cartels to run enough to kill all of us 10 times into the country. We're doing little to nothing. And though obviously the individual American person does not have the ability to fix this, we know that if enough stink is made, stuff will happen. So it's not a fun topic. It's kind of like when we talk about life. It's not really what you want to hear on your lunch break, and I understand that. But we need to talk about it. We need to have these real conversations on there. It can't all be fun. It can't all be, oh, look at silly Joe Biden. Look at the funny things they say. That can't be the focus on every day. Yeah, some days we can do that. And some days you got to do that. You got to break it up. You got to have some fun. You got to talk about these things that may be absurd, but at least you can find some ironic humor in it. These you can't. You can't hear that soundbite and not feel for this mother, feel for all of the families who have lost loved ones, our family included, who have had this crisis affect just about everyone. So I want to hear more from you as the listener, as the viewer, as the thousands of you are watching right now on Rumble and the thousands of you that are watching on all our other platforms or listening on the radio. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're heading into a break in just here a minute. And for some of you, if you're listening on terrestrial radio, why? You could be watching a full hour broadcast instead of a half hour broadcast. Find us broadcasting live right now, Rumble, as I said, which has become our hub. Rumble, the capital of free speech, essentially. They moved to Florida. God bless them. We love what Rumble's doing. We're also, though, still Facebook, huge for us. YouTube, you can find us on all the other platforms as well. There you go. And again, connect with us, be a part of this broadcast for another half hour that is coming up. Also, while we're at it, support the work of the ACLJ. The ACLJ does incredible work in terms of what's happening in Washington, what terms of media presence. We are doing so much. Again, I always say, I wish I could flip the cameras around so you could see. It's not just Will and I sitting here. There are dozens of people out in we're in the media headquarters, and then hundreds across the country, some of the best legal minds in the business, some of the best media minds in the business who come together for these important causes. So I encourage you to support the work of ACLJ by going to aclj.org, making a donation, but also check out the incredible free content that we provide there. New blogs every day, new news articles, video content that we put up on all of our platforms, but some of it exclusively on our website. You find it on the podcast app as well. You can find this broadcast. I do a podcast later on in the day with my brother, the Secular Brothers podcast, that is a bit more lighthearted. We intentionally do that to give you sort of the lunch break you need. We do that in the afternoons. We release it. That's on secularbrothers.com. We do kind of poke fun at the irony that's happening all around us. You can find that on Secular Brothers. Again, we try to provide as much great content as well as incredible legal work. We can't do it without you. So check out everything we do at aclj.org. Phone lines are lighting up right now, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take some calls in the next segment, and Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us in just a little bit. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about freedom.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
If you're just joining us right now, it's Logan Seculo, Will Haynes, executive producer in the studio as well. We're going to take some calls right off the bat because a lot of you have been on hold, and we've been talking about China making that statement saying to stop defaming us, U.S. There's a lot more we've covered. We've covered the fentanyl crisis, what's happening right now at Capitol Hill. So we have calls kind of related to a lot of these things. We're going to take as many as we can. But let's start. Let's go to Rick in California, line three. Rick, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me. Quick comment on the lab leak. I think we're going to see more and more agencies and people that are within the body of agencies, government agencies, I mean, coming out of the woodworks to admit and to flip-flop and get to the other side of the street in terms of what has happened. I know that informally and officially, a lot of us have known what's been going on.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of how this virus got released, but the machinery behind it to get it to what it got in terms of gain of function, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the media and agencies who have known, as well as the public in general have known, are going to start flip-flopping because they see guillotine time coming. Nobody wants to get caught on the right, on the wrong side of the street when things explode, and they're going to explode.
Yeah, Rick, I agree with you. I think that that is where we're at right now. I think we all kind of felt it. I mean, we know that. We all felt that the theories of, you know, the wet markets and the bats and all of those things sounded ridiculous in the moment. They were an answer that maybe the American people felt like they needed. But we all knew in the back of our heads that that didn't sound right. What sounded right was there was a Wuhan COVID lab, and somehow it got out. Now, how it got out, that's really the question that a lot of people are still curious about, whether it was intentional or whether it was a mistake, an accident that went wrong.
There were many documented cases of failures at that laboratory, about safety laboratory failures, about refrigerators that were holding things that were being tested and experimented in the hallway. Like, these were confirmed reports that there had been issues with this laboratory specifically.
But that's some of that information that we hope comes out of potentially this release, because they're calling right now for the release of the documentations of why the Department of Energy came to this conclusion.
Right, and that's Senator Hawley and Senator Brown are both asking, they're putting forward a bill, actually, which would declassify this information so that the American public can actually see what this new intelligence, because the FBI came to a similar conclusion based off other intelligence last year. The Department of Energy's conclusion is actually based off of something new, something that has been relatively recently come to their attention through their intelligence gathering. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out if the American people is allowed to see a little bit more of what this underlying information is. We've talked about classified information quite a bit recently. So hopefully we'll get to see some of this underlying information, and we'll be able to know, okay, did it have a direct link, or did someone blow a whistle, so to speak? And that's how we know. Yeah. We'll find out, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully we will. We've got a minute and a half. Let's quickly take Tim in North Carolina. Tim, you got about 30 seconds. You're on the air.
All right. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. You guys do great work. I appreciate you. I just wonder about, I think the question's been raised before about why now and why all of a sudden we're starting to talk about this, the Wuhan leak and everything. I think a lot of this is a smokescreen. The statements coming back out of China, it seems that they're saying, oh, quit accusing us of doing things. And it seems to be...
Yeah, here's what we do know, Tim, is that the Chinese Communist Party is posturing themselves to be a world power, and the likes of which we've not seen.
Yeah,
they are cozying up to Putin. They're
to Russia
to arm them.
We know what's happening. And yeah, I think, Tim, that that's at least another likely theory of what could be happening right now, which is you're seeing all this happen. And where is this going to lead to? And we're all praying and hoping it doesn't lead to some just global war that could happen. Hopefully not. Definitely not for it. But it does feel like it's heading that way, due to the way that we're currently treating the situation in Russia and Ukraine, and currently how that situation could unfold in China. Hopefully that's not where it goes. Hopefully we are not that far away from a presidential election and we can right this ship a little bit. Give us a call. We do a few lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Coming up next, Senator Marsha Blackburn. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secula. We got a lot of news to cover today, but we are joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn. Again, proud Tennessean, my senator. So I am thrilled to have her on to talk about some of the topics we've covered today. We've already heard us talk about what's going on in China. You've already heard us talk about what's going on with the fentanyl crisis. And there's a lot more happening. We thought she'd be a great person to have on. Senator Blackburn, news broke, obviously, just in the last over the weekend, that the Department of Energy believes that the COVID virus came from that lab in Wuhan and was leaked. I'm curious what your reaction was to that news. And what do you think needs to be done with it now that you have this information?
Yes, well, my reaction to that news was, yes, just as we had said this was probably coming from that lab, we find out that it is. But bear in mind, the mainstream media tried to cover up Hunter's laptop. They've tried to cover up big tech censorship. They have tried to cover up colluding with government agencies on COVID. They covered up the lab leak. And now what do we find out? Oh, just like Hunter's laptop was for real, and there was big tech censorship and there was big tech collusion. They also now, we have a lab leak coming out of the Wuhan lab. So I found it very interesting that John Kirby said there was no intelligence consensus on this issue, but there has been common sense consensus for a long time that a lab that was doing research work on coronavirus and was doing gain-of-function research and hearing that, you know, they may be working on biological weapons, that you have this virus come out of that area, out of Wuhan. And I find it so interesting, too, that the World Health Organization worked with China to get the language right. They negotiated the language of that COVID report with the CCP. And now they're trying to back away from some of that. But all the while, who are they trying to cover for? It's a massive cover-up for the Chinese Communist Party. It's a massive cover-up for NIAID and NIH and some of these agencies that knew differently but did not come forward in a forthright manner, in a timely manner, with that information to the American people who were footing the bill for this.
And you're correct. We've all felt that this was the truth, and I think that it's something we talked about in the last segment. We heard all the theories. They all came around. This one always felt like the one that was illogical in many senses of, sure, there was a lab. It leaked. How? Was it intentional? Was it not? That's something still we're hoping to get some more clarity on. And speaking of clarity, some of your colleagues are wanting the intelligence from the DOE to be declassified. They want that to, you know, have some transparency to the American people. How do you feel about that? Do you support that as well, that we need to actually know this information? That, sure, they can come out and say, yeah, we think it now was the lab leak, but maybe they need to give us a little more information of why they're confirming what we've all thought.
There are many of us that would like to look at this documentation, and we have the right to see this, even if it's still classified. We have the right to go to the SCIF and to review this and to see what it is they have, see if it matches up with other things that we have been told by our diplomatic scientists. You know, bear in mind, you've got over 1 million Americans that lost their lives. You have tens of millions of American families that were affected because of loss of a loved one or loss of a livelihood, or children that now have issues from the lockdowns, people that have long-term COVID, young people that have developed myocarditis. And there needs to be transparency and answers around this. If we don't provide that transparency, then how do we say, here are the lessons learned? How do we say, this is how we combat this? This is how we go forward? And President Biden could do something about this today if he were willing to be tough on the Chinese Communist Party. If he were willing to say, look, you had the biggest... we had the biggest trade deficit we've ever had with you. You imported more than ever into the U.S. last year, and we are getting ready to halt that until we get these answers.
Senator Blackburn, this is Will Haynes, the executive producer here. Just a quick topic change, but today at the Supreme Court, they're hearing a challenge to President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. You led more than 40 of your Republican colleagues in an amicus brief to the Supreme Court in support of that challenge. Do you see this loan forgiveness program that the president put forward right before midterm elections as a constitutional violation?
Oh, yes, Will, I definitely do. I mean, one of the things we mentioned in the amicus brief and one of the topics that we covered was the fact that the preservation of the separation of powers, and the executive branch does not have the constitutional right to move forward and to exercise such a rescission of loans and forgiveness of debt on their own. That is a decision that would be left to the U.S. Congress to make that decision. So the separation of powers argument is a big one. The next is looking at the total cost of this. The expenditure is estimated to be $426 billion. Now, this is a giveaway to wealthy individuals. 40% of all the student loans are held by people with advanced degrees, such as doctors, physicians, lawyers, advanced degree, high income earners. 10% of student loan debt is held by those in the lower economic strata. And fewer than 15% of all Americans hold student debt. So as you look at this, this is what you would call a gift to the rich. It is a huge tax break, if you will, because of this being refunded to people that are high-income earners.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Senator Blackburn. Again, I want to say thank you for calling in, being a part of the show today, hitting all the topics we could. Again, as someone who is proud to call you our senator, I appreciate every time that we can hear from you. And we're a national broadcast, but I personally am a Tennessean, so I'm happy to hear from her. So thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take some calls now. A lot of you have been on hold for a while. Let's go to Shane in California, line 4. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question concerning the COVID leak from Wuhan and the lying of the CCP.
Yes, go ahead.
Now, all of this information is coming out, and it's starting to look like, you know, we all knew where it came from, and we were all correct about it. So should this become 100%, isn't there a way that we, as Americans and other countries, can claim any investments, any monies, any entities that China has in our countries or nations, call them COVID reparations, and kick China out?
So there is a lot, Shane, of people trying to think of how to hold China accountable.
Right.
And the biggest hurdle to that right now is the administration. The Biden administration needs to be the one that leads on that, because they're going to have the most power. I don't think that we could directly right now file a class action lawsuit in American court and expect China to actually be held accountable.
But that being said, there is stuff that can be done. And I can tell you there are things happening that we can't necessarily even talk about on the air. And it relates directly to some of the things you're talking about. So, Shane, though, I'm not going to get into the details of it. I do want to say we are actively working on a lot of things in this world, if you will, in the what could be done, what can be done, what can be said publicly, what needs to be said, what are those consequences. We're working on it. And though we don't have probably presidential support over it, there are other ways to do it. And that is why it's important to support the work of the ACLJ. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we can't even say. There are offices we can't talk about. There are things that are going on that we cannot ever bring up on this broadcast. But it's important to have us there for you when you need it. When we launched 2 years ago, we've launched 40 years ago now, but a couple years ago when President Biden took office, we started calling the ACLJ, ACLJ more than ever, because I wish I could peel it back and you could see everything that we're doing, because it's very fascinating, very interesting. And maybe one day we will be able to talk about some of those things. But for now, we have to keep some of those things, unfortunately, due to legal reasons, a little bit more close to the vest. But I encourage you to check out our work. Read deeply on our website. You can find so much great information. Go to aclj.org. Read all the great content. Watch all the great video content. And here's the deal. There are about 4,000 of you alone watching live right now on Rumble. I'm going to ask you, if you are brand new to that, I'm going to ask you to follow our channel, because we do this show Monday through Friday. My dad and my brother host as well. So click that follow button. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Facebook, however it is, subscribe. Figure out all the different ways you can subscribe. Do it to make sure you are informed, but specifically on that Rumble channel right now. That's where most of you are watching, and I encourage you to do that. And if you're not, if you're listening on radio, you should be subscribing on all of our platforms, signing up for our email list, all of that over on aclj.org. Hey, the next segment, we got a little bit of fun, but also I'm going to be taking your calls. This is your last chance for calls for the day. Give me a call, 1-800. I'll say it slow. People say I say it too fast. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard on the air today, whether it is on China, whether it's on the fentanyl crisis, or any of the other topics we discussed today. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Throwback.
Yeah, throwback to a previous show that Will and I used to do. But now we do the Secular Brothers podcast as well. We do that in the afternoons. Me and my brother Jordan and Will all kind of discuss what's going on, sort of a more lighthearted look at American politics, pop culture, media, where they intersect. You can find that on secularbrothers.com. We're going to start by taking some phone calls. Some of you have been on hold for like 15, 20 minutes, and I'm sorry about that. But, you know, we had Senator Blackburn on. We got some big topics to cover. This, I will say this last chance, you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to hear from you. Mike is calling from Nevada on line one. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you taking my call. Clearly, China's been maneuvering for a while to take the position of being the dominant world power, so it's no surprise they're telling everybody else how to conduct their business. But my curiosity is, and I'd like to know more detail behind the understanding that fentanyl is coming from China, but if China's taken a lackadaisical approach and not fully supporting the investigation behind the fentanyl issue, why wouldn't they take a lackadaisical approach about where COVID started? Or maybe it was intentional on their part to add to the fentanyl crisis that we have in this country.
Mike, it seems as though you're using logic, and the Chinese Communist Party would probably say, please stop defaming us with your comments, Mike. In all seriousness, you do raise a good point. A lot of the prescription medication in the United States, not just fentanyl, but your amoxicillin, your antibiotics, your aspirin is coming from China because America has a dependency on the manufacturing of China. But you do bring up that point. They trace the fentanyl from that the cartels are packaging in, whether it be pills or lacing in other things, or however they're deciding to smuggle it across the border.
Yeah.
Most of that is being manufactured in China and going to Mexico, but a lot of it's also going to Canada. And there is one thing about the Chinese, quote, Communist Party, is that for being good communists that they are, they love power and money. And they will do things like manufacture whatever it is if they can get either power or money, because that's the regime that they are. So, yes, I agree with Mike. Nothing would surprise me out of the CCP.
And I'd say, like, knowing all of this and learning more about the origins of all of our medications, or most of our medications, where it's being created, where those pills are being created. I'm not even sure, maybe it could be the ingredients, because a lot of people use like a composting pharmacy or something like that. I don't know if that's any better.
Composting pharmacy, different thing. Yeah.
Compounding pharmacy. thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
sorry, threw me off there. But I'm not sure if that's any better. It could be. But knowing that, I feel like I've become more hesitant just in general, like in the medicine that I'm taking. Not that I don't trust my main pharmacist and who I'm using and that kind of thing, but you know where they got it from and where this, you know, I know there are regulations, but it's just putting that thought process into your head of, I don't really know what's going on in this business. And it's something we should learn about, how medicine is created, how prescriptions are created and manufactured. Because when you have this sort of situation, and there's a crisis that is, origins are in China, moves its way through the southern border, the northern border, as Will said, gets to America, could kill all of us. You do start to have to kind of question everything when it comes to those situations. I wish I had better answers for you. But maybe, as these senators put up for more transparency, possibly that will happen for this, which could lead to more transparency on other situations.
And fortunately, there is outcry from the American people, but you're also seeing things like with this new House of Representatives, there is a U.S. House Select Committee on China. So there is people that are willing to do this work and to try to get answers. There's going to be stonewalling from corporations. There's going to be stonewalling from the NGOs and the World Health Organization. There's going to be stonewalling from our own administration. But at least it's a start. And it's stuff that we've been raising here at Seculo for years, with Mike Pompeo and Rick Grinnell sounding the alarm on this broadcast, as many of the listeners know. So hopefully this is a start, and that it's a time for the American people and the American government to wake up and hopefully start to make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Mary is calling in Maryland. Online too. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I really get furious when I hear how much trouble China or anyone could be in because they lied about the COVID pandemic and how it began and how the evidence has been destroyed. It seems like it's all a lie to me because nobody has ever been held responsible for the breaking the law in the recent years. And just think about Hillary Clinton and how she was destroyed evidence, and it was just a joke.
Nobody's heartening, Mary.
Mary, you're right. I mean, we all feel that way too. When things aren't held accountable, you do wonder if anything's ever going to happen. Now, maybe it was a glimmer of hope that the Department of Energy actually said, no, now we're thinking this. They didn't have to do that. But someone in the office and that whole group decided, hey, let's do this and let's put out this statement. Well, that happened, that blew the doors down to the point where China is getting mad at us. China is saying, you are defaming us because you said that COVID started in a lab that we controlled. You also said this spy balloon was or this weather balloon was a spy balloon. How dare you? Maybe there's going to be some accountability, Mary. I don't lose total hope in that, but I understand feeling disheartened. I do. I think that it's only natural when those things happen. You does feel like people are not held accountable. It does feel like in Washington, D.C., people are not held accountable. It's just part of the game. But Will's right. That's why we put together an excellent team. That's why we put together people who have seen the inside, know the good, and know the bad. And that's what we do here at the ACLJ. Hey, as we wrap up this broadcast, I want to take just a couple minutes to ask you, if you're watching online, if you're listening, however it is that you are intercepting this broadcast. We do this show Monday through Friday. Wherever you're listening, it could be live. Later on, you may be hearing a pre-tape or this later on a podcast. You could be hearing it whenever it is. I'm going to ask you to go and connect with us. One ask, connect with us on our platforms. But the first one I'm going to ask you to do, because so many of you are watching right now through this, is to go to Rumble. Rumble, if you don't know about it, this is not an ad for Rumble. Rumble is a free speech platform, not dissimilar to YouTube. A lot more political content focused, I'd say. There's other content as well, but a big portion of it is sort of political and news. And I'm going to ask you to subscribe, which is what you do on Rumble, is to follow. So click that button to follow. There are thousands of you watching right now. I have a feeling a good portion of you are not our subscribers. You're new. You saw us featured on the homepage today. I'm going to ask you to subscribe here, because unlike terrestrial radio, unlike YouTube, unlike Facebook, which again are all platforms that we use, there's no one overreaching and telling us what to say, what not to say, or saying we're going to throttle your content because of it. And that's why there's a good company with Rumble. They are now based in Florida. They're a Canadian company, moved to Florida, have become this hub for free speech. I'm going to ask you to follow us on Rumble. They've been great to us. I have to say, unlike YouTube, which is owned by Google, which, by the way, if I wanted to talk to somebody, is practically impossible. We got an award from them from crossing a certain subscriber amount. It took like 2 years to get the thing because we had to fight with Google just to give us a plaque that said, yes, you did it. Rumble, I could text right now the head of content, because this is a great company, great people. I'm going to ask you to follow on there. Also support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We have great content going there live each and every day. So make sure you continue, check that out, and support the work by making a donation. That would really help us out. Doesn't matter if you say I only can do $5, who cares? Just give us whatever you can right now, because it keeps the lights on and it keeps this broadcast happening. It keeps all the legal work that we do around the world going. Again, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.